Okay. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special Board of Commissioners meeting on today, Monday, March 1st, 2021, at 2 o'clock p.m. Pursuant to the March 16th, 2020 notice issued by the Office of the Texas Attorney General and in accordance with applicable portions of the Texas Open Meetings Act, this meeting is being held via teleconference. Our telephone conference using U.S. toll-free number 1-888-475-4499, local number of 1-346-248-7799, with a meeting ID of 897-5790-7628. This time I'd like to call the meeting to order and also have a roll call by Mr. Thiele.
Commissioner Hernandez? Commissioner Kirkendall?
Present.
Commissioner Snowden?
Present.
Commissioner Ballard?
Here.
Commissioner Cooksey? Commissioner Miller? Commissioner Thomas?
Present.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman. I believe Commissioner Hernandez is present, and maybe there's a muting issue.
Okay. Well, if he will chime in, our Commissioner Hernandez, if you would send a note in the chat, then we'll be able to move from there. Okay?
Hello, Commissioner Hernandez is unmuted, I believe, and I'm present.
Okay. Perfect, thank you. Okay, so Commissioner Hernandez is present. A quorum has been identified. We will now offer the use of the Spanish interpreter. The translator will be available to Spanish speakers who may need assistance during the public comment section only. Ms. Olga Enfente, would you please introduce yourself and present yourself in Espanol?
Señor, mi nombre es Olga Infante y soy su intérprete para español. My name is Olga Infante and I will be your Spanish interpreter.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Infante.
Now to public comments. This is an opportunity for the public to provide comment on any of the resolutions before us today or to discuss any matters. To make comments during the public comment section, push star 9 to raise your hand for your question or comment. Speakers will be allowed 3 minutes for public comment. Speakers will only be allowed to speak once. I will inform you when your 3 minutes have expired. The board will generally not provide responses to the comments or answer any questions. HHA residents making comments are encouraged to clearly state their name and the property where they reside. Someone from the property management team or someone from the staff will reach out to you directly regarding those issues. Any public comments at this time? I see we have some hands raised.
Caller number 932, you're being asked to unmute. 932.
Hello, my name is Molly Cook. I'm going to reiterate some stuff that I said last time. I'm a resident of Montrose and speaking as an advocate on behalf of residents today, asking you not to approve resolutions 3244 and 3245. We know Houston needs more affordable housing, and I know that you guys have entered into a lot of public facility corporation agreements over the last few years, but I'm wondering what good these projects actually do. In the creation of a PFC, we know a developer partners with an entity like the HHA, and as long as they guarantee that half the units are for people earning 80% AMI or below, which is $63,000 for a family of four, then they never have to pay property taxes on the development again, which is a massive profit for them and a huge loss for Houston and Harris County public services like HISD, the county, the city, the flood control district, Harris County Hospitals, the County Department of Education, and HCC. It's my suspicion that even many normal apartment complexes in Houston would actually qualify to be PFC deals, and we are voluntarily sacrificing city tax revenue to benefit large developers. For all of that, half the units in these developments are market rate. So who's actually being served? Those who qualify for the affordable part of PFCs who make 80% AMI are not cost burdened by rent according to the five-year estimates in the 2018 American Community Survey for the City of Houston. A household is considered cost burdened if they spend more than 30% of their income on rent, and only 33% of those who qualify for PFCs fit that criteria. More than half of Houstonians who rent are not served by PFCs because they make below 80% AMI. Of that group, 77% are cost burdened by housing expenses. So why aren't we serving them? For this deal in particular, even if there's a better mix of percent AMI units, you're still removing stable public housing and forcing residents to apply for and use vouchers that leave them with little choice. Why has the HHA signed over 15 PFC agreements that don't serve the majority of renting cost burdened Houstonians? Foregoing important property tax revenue for the City of Houston and Harris County Public Services in exchange for developer profit without addressing the area's true housing needs is not acceptable. PFCs are a bad deal for the public. We should not use them to fund housing. The HHA's mission is to serve at-risk families, not developers. We're losing Clayton Homes later this year, and the average household in Clayton Homes makes 18% AMI. Using the majority of the Clayton Homes land sale to fund primarily 80% AMI and market rate housing is a prime example of PFC's inefficiency. How can you guys take that money, use it to buy land, force yourself into a corner where you have to partner with a developer? It makes no sense. The arguments against these are not just NIMBY. The original purpose of PFCs was to authorize the creation of public facilities. Throwing handouts to developers to produce housing does not serve the demonstrated need in Houston, only accelerates our area's housing crisis, which is directly contrary to your mission. Reconsider this. Do not vote on resolutions 3244 and 3245 today. Thank you.
Time.
Caller.
Caller number 145, you're being asked to unmute. 145.
Hello, my name is Charles Thompson. I'm a resident of Houston and represent three generations of living in Third Ward. I'm calling on the behalf of residents of Clayton Homes. As an employee of HISD, I'm deeply concerned about the impact this would have on Bruce Elementary's enrollment and attendance. I think we can all agree when I say that schools are the cornerstone of every thriving community. And with that being said, my concern is that the decision to relocate the residents of Clayton Homes would have a negative impact on the school's enrollment. Our district's enrollment has experienced a loss of 10,000 students. This was primarily due to COVID, and this resolution would contribute to the displacement of Black and Brown families. As an agency, you have both a legal and moral obligation to provide services to the residents of Clayton Homes. Now more than ever, we need more affordable housing within the City of Houston, not less. Your proposal would do the opposite. You must ask yourself, do you want to be known as an entity that advocates for low-income communities by providing them with quality, affordable housing within the city? Or do we want to be known for contributing to systemic racism by displacing Black and Brown community members and defunding and dismantling Black and Brown public schools? In addition, public facility corporations are bad housing policies, which places profits before people and caters to wealthy real estate developers. We oppose the formation of any new PFCs, especially for the replacement of the homes of residents living in Clayton Homes, especially in the case of contaminated and environmentally hazardous sites like 100 Jensen. We are calling on the board to not approve resolutions 3244 nor 3245. Thank you, and I yield the rest of my time.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 555, you're being asked to unmute, ending in 555.
Hola, ¿me pueden oír? Bueno.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Sí, ¿me escucha?
Buenas tardes.
Hola, Olga. ¿Puedes traducir por mí?
Sí, señora, con mucho gusto.
Gracias. Hola a todos. Mi nombre es Isis Berruete. Yo soy residente del quinto barrio de Houston, Texas. Y hoy estoy aquí para luchar para...
Un momento. Perdóname, me tienes que dar pausas porque la traducción que se hace es consecutiva, no simultánea, ¿ok?
Ok. Si quiere, yo hablo inglés también, yo lo puedo decir.
No, como tú prefieras.
Sí, nomás quiero que agarre lo que quiero decir.
Sí, señor.
I'm trying to speak in Spanish because that is my native language. I am a Mexican, but because I grew up in Fifth Ward with many, many Black people around me, I consider myself Black, and I speak English. So I'm going to go ahead and use my second language to explain this for you guys. My name is Isis Berruete. I grew up in Fifth Ward. I am a resident of Fifth Ward and Second Ward, and I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. I'm here today to fight on the rights of these people that live in these public housing. I grew up in Kennedy Place, which is another housing unit, public housing in Fifth Ward. So you have Clayton Homes, Kelly Courts, and Kennedy Place within 1 mile radius. And you have Bruce Elementary, which was rebuilt next to another freeway. The old Bruce Elementary was next to an MDI Superfund site that was never cleaned up. So how are you going to be there for our residents? How are you going to be there for people like me who had to go to shitty tests? How does the state expect me to pass a test when I'm not given a good environment? I was one of these people. My mother with seven kids who does not speak Spanish, fought hard, and she survived. And she's still a fighter. She's still fighting, trying to survive. But because of lack of information, lack of resources, you guys are not giving my mother and other mothers of low income to fight for their rights. You're not letting them choose. You're giving them vouchers. You gave my mother a voucher to relocate to another public housing. Guess what? She didn't do that. She had to go buy a house in Aldemar Route, in Humble, or wherever, North Houston, where it's cheaper and more affordable. But because she was kicked out of her neighborhood, we've been living there for 13 years, and you kicked us out. Now ask me, are these vouchers really valid? Are they really providing quality of life, housing? So what are you going to do with all of us? You're going to scatter us like roaches? What are you going to do to fix this problem, to be part of this solution? Because nobody...
Thank you. Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 557. You're being asked to unmute. 557.
Hi, my name is Katie Christman, and I'm a resident of Houston, and I'm speaking as an advocate on behalf of the residents of Clayton Homes. And I'm here today to urge the Houston Housing Authority better support residents of Clayton Homes during this time of extreme stress. Do not approve resolutions number 3244 nor 3245 today. And advocate to suspend community service requirements for the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you very much.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 129. You're being asked to unmute. 129.
This is Kendra. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello. Okay, thank you for allowing me to speak. This is Kendra London. I was born and raised in Fifth Ward, and I'm calling in today to ask that you all do not even consider that number 2344 or 3245 as a resolution, because it's absolutely no solution at all. I'm asking that you all suspend the community service. The city passed a grace ordinance to relieve stress of those who cannot pay rent. So to make the Clayton Home residents pay rent with community service is not fair. So if everyone is stress-free, they should be stress-free also. The vouchers that you all are giving out are removing our security blanket. Like the young lady Issa said earlier, when we move out of our community, we no longer know our neighbors. Everyone knows what family I belong to in my community. When you move us out and you push us out, and that voucher does not give us a choice of staying within our community because it does not meet the rental fees for our community, since it's no longer, Fifth Ward is no longer considered a low-income community. So the housing vouchers are not suitable for the community anymore. We were at a meeting at the multi-service center 2 years ago, I believe, and TxDOT promised us that they would build 2 miles behind Clayton Homes residence for those housing building for those that live in Clayton Homes. You all haven't even broke ground or started, and every time we ask where are those plans, we're told that due to litigation, you all can't answer that. This is not fair to have the residents stressed out about where they will go next. And they have no clue about how the housing voucher works because the information is not clear, and they have no clue about a timeline. So if someone told you you had to move in 90 days and you knew the exact address where you were going to move, it would still be stressful. Now imagine doing that move with kids, no job, and no clue of where you're going. This is unfair. This is a trauma experience that's being handled as if it is a normal experience, and we are tired of being looked over and left out of vital conversations. So I'm asking again, please do not pass solution number 3244 or 3245. Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Caller number 320, you've been asked to unmute. 320.
Hi, my name is Quilly Cook. I'm a resident of Montrose, and I'm calling today to advocate on behalf of the residents of Clayton Homes. Thank you for the opportunity to attend this special session that was called on Friday regarding resolutions 3244 and 3245, which I will urge you not to support. Public facility corporations simply do not support the people they are supposed to. We have already discussed last week and in this call that 80% AMI is significantly higher than the average income of an individual or family currently residing in Clayton Homes. Residents are already complaining of neglected maintenance requests, hazardous living conditions, constant stress regarding the status of their housing and when they will lose it, and the dehumanization that comes along with being a pawn for developers in this city. Since the sale of Clayton Homes, our neighbors are being actively harmed by the decisions of TxDOT, the Housing Authority, and developments like the PFCs that we're discussing today. The site at 100 Jensen is environmentally hazardous and proven as such. Really, to not reconsider this project in the face of this pushback that we're giving you today, that we gave you last week, reflects a really deep commitment to profit over people. These are our neighbors. They are residents of a historic community. They already bear an overwhelming weight from Houston's so-called decades of progress. Do not further entrench this heinous system. It's not just a system of neglect. It is antagonistic harm. We are harming people's lives, their health, their livelihood. I mean, I'm saying we, but it's not me. It's okay. Do not approve resolutions 3244 and 3245. You need to give residents an explicit and clear timeline for their displacement. They need suitable replacement housing, and they need public outdoor meetings in multiple languages to make sure that all of their options are available and clear to them. A PFC is a profit deal, plain and simple. I know it, you know it. Everyone in this city who manages to jump through all the hoops they have to go through to learn about this knows it. PFCs funnel neighborhood dollars directly into developers' pockets and give nothing back to the communities that they disrupt. To remove tax revenue from Fifth Ward is robbery. Do not approve resolutions 3244 and 3245. We are watching you. Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Caller number 420. You're being asked to unmute. 420.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, my name is Joseph McGuire. I am a former resident of the Memorial area and an alumni of Rice University and begrudgingly a current resident of Seattle, though I would love to get back to Houston. I'm speaking as an advocate on behalf of residents of Clayton Homes. I ask that my words as well the words of other callers do not fall on deaf ears. Molly Cook, as well as others who have spoken previously, have stated clearly that the PFCs in the other resolutions and the resolutions considered today, resolutions 3244 and 3245, are wrong. I'm here today to urge the Houston Housing Authority to better support the residents of Clayton Homes during this time of extreme stress. Do not approve resolutions 3244 and 3245, and advocate to suspend the community service requirements for the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic. I do not believe the board members lack the capabilities to understand the present circumstances in the world. I also do not believe that the board members on the Houston Housing Authority do not understand the implications of the resolutions at hand today. Others have spoken plainly and with deep understanding. It is therefore my belief that if the resolutions 3244 and 3245 are passed and approved, they will have been approved in bad faith, following a history in Houston of antagonistic public services opposing the well-being of our lower income neighbors. It is also therefore my hope that considering the impassioned advocacy by the Houstonians calling it today, as well as those who have and will continue to advocate for Clayton Homes residents and all the residents of public housing, that considering these words, these facts, you do not approve resolution 3244 and 3245 when they clearly will destroy the very basis of life, home, for many people with nowhere else to turn. It is the only right decision. Thank you for your time.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 213. You're being asked to unmute 213. Caller ending in 360. You're being asked to unmute 360.
Hello, my name is Catherine Folkinghorn, and I'm a resident of Third Ward speaking on behalf of the residents of Clayton Homes. I am here today to urge the Houston Housing Authority to better support residents of Clayton Homes during this time of extreme stress, to please not approve resolutions number 3244 nor 3245, and to advocate for the suspension of community service requirements for the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm so impressed and heartened by the words of everyone who's spoken before me on this call, and I hope that the Houston Housing Authority understands that as complicated as the situation may be, Houston residents are putting in the work to understand it, and that we have eyes on the real estate deals that are happening as a result of Northeastern Highway Improvement Project. PSCs are converting a public good to an opportunity for profit, and housing vouchers are not a solution. We need to take steps forward in public housing. Again, as other callers have already stated, there are a lot of problems that need to be solved with these housing developments as they stand. And instead of doing that, the Houston Housing Authority is taking the funding they've been given and using it to take steps backwards. This is standing at the end of a long history, a legacy of discrimination and racism. In the city with housing and infrastructure projects. And I hope that the HHA will understand that rejecting these resolutions is an opportunity to take a step over to the right side of history. I stand with everyone's comments before, and I hope that you will not approve resolutions number 3244 and 3245 today. Thank you.
Caller ending in 405, you're being asked to unmute 405.
Hi, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Awesome. Hi, my name is Alexandra Smither, and I'm a resident of Montrose, an immigrant and a graduate of Rice University. And I, too, am speaking today in solidarity with and as an advocate for residents of Clayton Homes, specifically on housing vouchers and asking the committee to not approve resolutions number 3244 nor resolution 3245 today. Clayton Homes residents have been hearing rumors of moving for years, and the timeline keeps getting pushed back. Although the proposed new construction is within the required 1 mile radius of Clayton Homes, until it is built, residents are faced with trying to find units within their community, which you are not helping with. Imagine that instability. There is currently no replacement housing being built. HHA is estimating at least 2 years until it is built. Residents have the option of selecting another comparable unit in another public housing facility, but these will be hard to come by as they only come available as others move out. If this isn't possible, they can take a housing voucher. Not to mention the promises that have been broken to the residents of Fifth Ward in the past. Thank you, Kendra, for mentioning that. The housing should have already been built. In April of 2020, in the HHA board meeting report, you noted that tenants have been in favor of vouchers, but to also echo what Kendra said so well, vouchers might not actually be the best decision for tenants because the name housing choice vouchers is misleading because so many landlords won't take them. They don't offer the choices you say they will. These vouchers often actually cause a domino effect of burdens because they don't account for the cost of living increases and they are less helpful than they sound on the surface. HHA, you are beholden to the city of Houston. Mayor Turner said in a letter to the NHHIP project that this project must leave residents and communities whole, which means ensuring that all displaced residents can relocate in their neighborhoods and the affordable housing supply is not reduced. TxDOT has given you more than enough money to make that happen and the ball is in your court. Please reconsider the domino effect burdens. And please work for the people of Houston, not for rich developers, and do not approve Resolution 3244 nor Resolution 3245. Thank you. I yield my time.
Caller ending in 617, you're being asked to unmute 617.
Hello, this is Mary Schultz. I am a resident of the Houston Heights and a retired social worker. I'm here today to talk on behalf of the residents in public housing, as the previous speakers have already done. However, I in particular am interested in residents at Kelly Courts. Kelly Courts is now housing some of the people who have moved out of Clayton Homes. And the people who are living in Kelly Courts are in the dark as to their own future because they also will be displaced. At least a huge majority of them will be due to the plans for the TxDOT I-45 expansion. One of the residents called this week asking for help in obtaining some cleaning supplies because she's had a gap underneath her window air conditioner where cold air and ice and water has leaked in, causing mold to start to form. She says that she has been trying to call the management for the past 2 weeks, and her calls all go to an answering machine and are never returned. She tries to stop the maintenance men out in the yard, and they say, oh, you have to get a work order from the office. So this cycle has gone round and round, and as we discussed her future as far as her apartment being destroyed as part of the expansion of I-45, she said she had received no notices from HHA, no notices from the management of Kelly Courts, and only a couple of flyers stuck on her door by TxDOT. Now, this is indicative of how the people who live in Kelly Courts and all of the public housing are being treated and being respected. Whatever is being planned for Clayton Homes is also going to influence what is done for and to the residents of Kelly Courts. As Chloe Cook said so well, the housing that's being proposed in the offices of HHA and others is really not going to meet their needs. The vouchers are not going to fund the promised housing. And the proposed buildings of new public housing is not probably going to be affordable to most of them. It is unfortunate that HHA and others in decision making are seeming to want to proceed with those plans when what is needed is to just stop and do the harder work of making an appropriate alternative for all the people in public housing who are being displaced. Thank you.
Caller ending in 587, you're being asked to unmute 587.
Hi, this is Katie Weber. I am a resident of Houston. I live in Greenway Upper Kirby, and I am calling on behalf of residents of Clayton Homes. I believe that many other callers today have very well stated how the issue of relocation is going to hurt the residents of Clayton Homes, especially with no planned relocation site, and the site that is being offered is going to be built on a place that is not safe. But I really wanted to talk again about the issues that residents are facing and that they have to do public service if they're unable to pay their rent and the issues that that caused in this time of COVID. I believe that if we are wanting to keep our neighbors safe, that we need to suspend the community service requirements for the remainder of this pandemic and until all residents are able to be safely vaccinated and we are well past the pandemic. I also wanted to talk more about some of the issues that have come up with people in unlivable conditions, even after, before and after the storm of the last 2 weeks, Storm Uri. People have been not been having their safety issues cared by the people that are supposed to be taking care of Clayton Homes. They're not fixing issues with sewage, vacant units, and there is very slow maintenance response times for all of these issues. As far as I can understand, the people that take care of Clayton Homes still are beholden to their residents, even though there are plans to move. And I hope that during this time, you will still make sure that they are being cared for and that they are able to get information in outdoor socially distanced meetings that people are able to attend and have over a week's notice ahead of time, and with adequate Spanish language translation. With that, I am asking that you do not approve resolutions 3244 or 3245 today, and I yield the rest of my time.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 397. You're being asked to unmute 397.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Hi, my name is Karina, and I'm a resident of Houston. Thanks for letting me be part of this meeting. It's good to know. I'm calling in solidarity with and also speak as acting as an advocate, as like many other callers, on behalf of residents of Clayton Homes. And I urge y'all to not approve resolutions number 3244 or 3245 today. Like, even in Clayton Homes, residents already haven't had their concerns taken care of, even before all of this mess. Like, Hurricane Harvey hit 3.5 years ago, and their living conditions never really got returned to what they were before. And then other things, just like the recent Storm Uri, whatever it's called, like everyday people in this city, you know, had to feel what it's like to provide after themselves and feel like they could only rely on themselves or each other, because the entities that are supposed to take care of us, it really felt like they didn't. And that must be what the residents of Clayton Homes and really just any residents of public housing in Houston must feel like on the daily. Because they've had to, besides, you know, being treated like they're unwanted, like with tons of safety issues, having vacant units, or even maintenance response times that can be well over 24 hours, it's definitely gotten worse since the sale was announced, as if they've forgotten that people are still living there, even though the sale has already gone through. And really, I think the way that you choose to proceed with Clayton Homes begs the question, is this what you plan to do with all public housing units in Houston? Like, instead of, you know, making it, oh, we don't have any public housing in Houston, but making it so hard for people to find a place to live, forcing them to move outside of the community, it makes me wonder, like, what's your end game? Because if it's to help the people who live in public housing and show you care about them as human beings, it really doesn't look like it right now. So if you really do care about them, show us you don't value profits over people. Show us that you do care more about people by not approving by not approving resolutions 3244 or 3245. Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 660, you've been asked to unmute 660.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. My name is Claire Hopper. I'm a resident of Houston in 77009, and I'm here, like so many others in this meeting, to advocate for the residents of Clayton Homes. I'm here to echo what others have said. You must suspend the community service requirement during the pandemic, and you must not approve resolutions number 3244 nor 3245 today. The PSC deals that you're making for these resolutions are unacceptable for the people you serve and for the public. The land for the NRP project at 800 Middle is being purchased with proceeds from the Clayton Homes land sale to TxDOT. As the housing authority who directly reports to HUD, you are legally obligated to provide environmentally suitable housing. While affordable housing at 800 Middle would keep residents in a historic neighborhood near many amenities such as Buffalo Bio East End and Tony Marin Park, which are all extremely commendable, additional steps need to be taken before this project is environmentally acceptable. And I realize that actually conducting an environmental cleanup is out of the HHA's purview. However, it is undeniable that the site is currently not satisfactory or acceptable. In your previous board meeting reports, the maps show that 800 Middle is immediately adjacent to Lead Products Company, which is a known polluter, and the former Velasco incinerator brownfield site. Just in my short research, I found that the Velasco incinerator site still has high levels of arsenic and lead in the soil and lead in the groundwater. The Lead Products Company, also nearby, has not been inspected by the EPA for over 8,000 days. That's back in the 90s. Dixie Electroplating, which is also adjacent, emits chromium, acids, lead compounds, and who knows what else. No housing should be near these sites, until they are dealt with, those without ample choice should not be placed in proximity to them. In a December 12, 2019 email correspondence between Lorraine Walls, who's the HUD Field Office Director for Houston, and her colleagues, she stated clearly, frankly, quote, Houston is a big city with lots of other lots available without contamination history, unquote. And I saw on HCAD that both the NRP site and the Ojala site are owned by the same group, Pinto Realty Partners. So I'm wondering, if there are so many other lots available without contamination history, why are you so quick to buy up this contaminated land and deal with them in private executive sessions that are closed to the public? Why are you not considering other parcels and including the public and the people you serve in these decision being made? Thank you, and I yield my time.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 574. You've been asked to unmute 574.
Hello.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is George Barrow. I'm a resident of Woodland Heights, and I'm calling today as an advocate for the residents of Clayton Homes. I'm asking you to not approve resolutions number 3244 nor 3245. Half of Clayton Homes flooded after Harvey, and the HHA did not even tear down the units for years. You put up a chain link fence, worsening already deplorable living conditions for many residents. Because of this, many residents have expressed at HHA meetings that they do want to move and therefore do not oppose tearing down the units for the upcoming I-45 expansion. In the environmental impact statement for the I-45 expansion, TxDOT is only obligated to pay for one relocation for each resident. This means that Clayton residents who relocate this summer when the property is demolished will not be able to relocate to the new units because they won't be ready. They won't be ready because you've chosen to build new complexes, which you said in the previous meeting won't be ready for 2+ years. Instead of buying existing housing that could house people right now who are being displaced, you're deciding to buy land, and then you have to incentivize the developer to pay to build the housing. You don't need to do this, because since truly public housing units are being demolished, HHA is not bound by the Fair Clause Amendment, which stipulates that HUD cannot fund the construction or operation of new public housing units. Since Clayton units are public housing under HHA ownership, you don't need to replace them with vouchers. The $90 million you got from TxDOT to replace Clayton Homes could purchase and operate the 296 units you need to replace at $300,000 per unit. That is plenty to make such a purchase feasible, even in current market conditions. Instead, what you're doing is funding two massive development deals, of which only 18% of the money you are getting from TxDOT will replace units lost in Clayton homes. You do not need to get a developer involved to replace these homes. You could just outright buy existing units and the residents of Clayton would have homes today. You could even ask them where they would like to live. You should not be making these decisions in executive session. You should involve the residents in making decisions about their lives. Although you're technically replacing the Clayton units lost, you are not replacing the residents' homes. They are not benefiting from the complicated PFC development deal that you're making. Thank you, and I yield the rest of my time.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 471, you're being asked to unmute. 471.
Hello, this is Susan Graham. Good afternoon, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm Susan Graham. I live in Houston in the near north side, 77009. And thank you so much for this opportunity today. I'm calling in to reiterate the comments that I made at the meeting on Tuesday. I'm asking that you do not approve resolutions number 3244 or 3245 today. Clayton Homes is currently, as you know, situated between the bayou, the railroad, and the highway. This comes with a slate of environmental and health concerns for the residents, not least of which was the flooding during Hurricane Harvey, which you have not remedied since that time. The proposed replacement site at 100 Denton will not fix any of these problems. In fact, it's going to maintain the legacy of environmental racism that we've seen so often in our city. The units at 100 Denton will still be next to the bayou, still be next to the railroad, and still will be next to the highway, a highway that is proposed to expand both in width and in height through TxDOT's expansion of the I-45. This publicly available acoustic study provided by HHA and OHI LLP to the City of Houston and Mayor Turner was completed by Houston-based acoustical consulting firm CSTI. A second independent study found in the public record by acoustic consultants Marsh/PMK discovered that CSTI did not factor in the realignment of I-69 with their study. That's inexcusable. Even without factoring in the new highway's proximity, the CSTI noise report showed projected noise levels only 0.3 decibels below the HUD maximum acceptable rate. With the realignment of I-69, Marsh/PMK verified that new noise levels will be unacceptably high, coming in at nearly 5 decibels above the acceptable limit. In addition to noise, air contamination from the new I-69, elevated highway is a significant factor in resident health. Living next to freeways increases asthma, heart attacks, strokes, lung cancer, and preterm births. This is not an acceptable environment for any type of housing, much less for those who are already marginalized and vulnerable. You must commit to creating housing in safe, quality environments for the people you have been appointed to serve. I implore you to reconsider the previous deals you have made with Ohio Development Group. And
next caller, please.
Caller ending in 427. You're being asked to unmute. 427.
Hello, my name is David Espinoza. I live in North Houston. Also a student at the University of Houston. And I'd like to voice my support for the residents of Clayton Homes. Also implore you to not approve resolutions 3244 and 3245. And just do a better job of finding better homes that the HHA should have purchased existing property in the past. This is an example of just economic environmental and just the government just enforcing racism, where low-income families are just forced out of their homes into essentially toxic, noisy, stressful environments in poorly maintained facilities. They can even afford to be there even with those vouchers. I mean, the way it's looking, that the people cannot afford to live there, the rest are just going to be forced to move way out of the city. And this is not an effective method of, like, lifting Houston residents out of poverty. This isn't just pushing people and from their homes, and people you're considering urban blight that you don't want in town, just pushing them way further away from their communities, away from their jobs and their families. I'm not sure. I mean, that's what you're trying to do, and it's what it looks like. And it's kind of just despicable. I don't know what else to tell you. I'll just give you a listen to time. Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Caller, ending in 349. You're being asked to unmute. 349.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name is Asia Pua, and I'm actually a resident of Eastwood in the second ward, and I'm calling to express my support for resolution 3244 and 3245. I think it's important to remember that the Jensen Project is a solution to the harrowing displacement of Clayton residents resulting from TxDOT's I-45 expansion. The land has been approved by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Vouchers provide residents with the power to choose where they'd like to live. And honestly, without the barrage of these unfounded lawsuits and this year-long smear campaign led by NIMBY opposition, which has continually delayed construction of the properties in question for the past year, we wouldn't even be facing this issue. Not approving these resolutions would result in another iteration of redlining, forcing residents outside of the community that they've known as home. And that's the real travesty. I yield the rest of my time.
Next caller, please.
Caller ending in 213, you're being asked to unmute. 213.
Hi, my name is Michelle Farrell. I'm a current resident of Glenbrook Valley, which is in the Hobby area. I am calling to express my support for affordable housing and HHA's efforts in the East End. Again, this is a result of individuals being displaced by TxDOT. This is a solution to the issue. The land that this will be built on has been approved by the TCEQ. Houston is gentrifying faster than any other major city in Texas. It's one of the largest cities where the economic divide is growing at the fastest rate in the United States. As a new homeowner myself, the surrounding area is increasing by 10% each year in those home values, which again is displacing more people. You should not have to earn $75,000 a year to be able to stay where your community is. I was a former resident of Magnolia Park and Eastwood and have strong family ties to that community. And I believe that we do support affordable housing. We do support mixed income housing and workforce housing because that's what represents the community. HHA is federally funded and not funded by the city of Houston. It is not going to increase your taxes. It doesn't take taxes from your tax base. So that's why I do support HHA and I'll yield the rest of my time. Thank you.
Okay, I think our callers during public comment have been identified and have spoken, and we will move forward in our agenda. Let me just say I thank you to the quote, many advocates of Clayton Homes and Clayton Homes residents that may still be on the call. We look forward to maintaining affordability throughout this entire city, which means that we will be looking at developing affordability and maintaining affordability in areas such as Montrose, Memorial, Independence Heights, Third Ward, Fifth Ward, continue to do the work that we're doing in East End and even in the 77009. And so we're looking at development and acquisitions to make sure we're maintaining affordability throughout this city. And so I hope and look forward to the individuals that will continue to be advocates, and hopefully that you will continue to voice what you feel is right. We will oftentimes have differing of opinions, but we look forward to doing what is right for the people that we serve. And so I will move into the new business with resolutions number 3244 and 3245. I'm gonna ask and entertain a motion to table those two resolutions. Is there a motion from one of the, I think that was Ballard, moved to table. Is there a second?
Second, Thomas.
Are there any questions? Any discussion? Hearing none, these two resolutions are tabled. Mark, can we go forward with resolution number 3246?
We can, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, resolution 3246 is that the Houston Housing Authority Board of Commissioners authorizes the interim president and CEO or designee to implement HUD waivers of the statutorily required community service in accordance with HUD's PIH notice 2020-33 pursuant to the memorandum dated February 25th, 2021 from Nagisa Allen, ESA policy analyst to Mark Thiele, interim president and CEO. Basically, this would waive the requirement, for required community service in accordance with the availability that is currently allowed by HUD waivers. Period availability currently ends on June 30th, 2021. Staff recommends the adoption of this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Thiele. I will entertain a motion to accept resolution number 3246, consideration and/or action to approve the implementation of HUD waivers related to the administration of the Housing Choice Voucher Program and public housing operations and statutorily required community service in accordance with HUD PIH notice 2020-33. Is there a
motion? So moved. Andrea Cooksey.
Second, Ballard.
Moved by Cooksey, second by Ballard. Ready for the question. Are there any comments, discussion? Any objections to adoption of resolution number 3246? Hearing none, resolution number 3246 is adopted. We will now move into executive session. Executive session will begin. Executive session for the Board of Commissioners will begin at 2:54 p.m. on March 1st, 2021. In accordance with Section 551-074 of the Texas Government Code regarding personnel matters, legal issues in accordance with Section 551-071 of the Texas Government Code, and real estate matters in accordance with Section 551-072 of the Texas Government Code. I think we're going to move over into a room and have our discussion, and we should return back shortly. Okay, I think everyone is back. Thank you for the time. The executive session has ended, and the Board of Commissioners now has completed its closed session on March 1st, 2020 at 3:09 p.m. I will now reconvene our public session, and I don't think there's any action that remains, and I ask for adjournment of this meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move, Ballard.
Second, Cooksey.
This meeting is adjourned at 3:09 p.m. Let me also say that the two meetings that we had, Board of Directors meeting for Jensen Public Facility Corp and the Board of Directors meeting for APV Redevelopment Corp will be postponed and will be reposted once those meetings have been reset. Thank you to everyone still on the call, and we look forward to seeing you at our next meeting. Thank you.